Pastor Jay Spites, a chaplain serving as pastor in Rockville, Maryland, when he was awakened by his phone buzzing at 4 a.m., he read the message once, he read the message twice, he read the message three times before he woke up his wife, and he whispered to her, "Honey, you're a princess." But she couldn't hear what he said. So his day began. Now this man, Pastor Jay Spites, had grown up in New Jersey. He's now 66 years old. After he received that message that morning, he decided to send his DNA to Ancestry.com. Sure enough, it was true. Pastor Jay Spites from Rockville, Maryland, is a descendant from a king of a kingdom by the name of Alata. It's actually today the Republic of Benin in West Africa, but in those days it was known as the Kingdom of Alata. Just a very few months later, he got a visitor from Benin, met him in his office in Maryland, and when he asked him about the DNA test, he showed him pictures of his ancestors. The man gave him the telephone number of the king in Benin. A couple days later, he gets a phone call, a text from the queen. "We are smiling as you read this. You are a descendant of King Deka, ninth king of Alata, who ruled from 1746 to 1765. We will be delighted to welcome you to your home, dear prince." This past February 2019, Pastor Spites flew 5,000 miles to Benin to meet the royal family. When he arrived, he thought, well, maybe he'll be visiting for a few days, get acquainted with a couple relatives, do some sightseeing. Instead, he was welcomed with this huge festival, parade, singing, dancing. He was welcomed, honored by the people, and the following week, Pastor Spites was sent to Prince School. Then he was enthroned as the prince, officially, with lace robes. He is now designated a holy man, given several crowns. An armed guard kept watch out his hotel door. During the day, local journalists followed him around with cameras. He was given a new name, Vidikan Deka, Prince of Alata. Now, it's likely that some of you think that you're not royalty. Some of you might think you're royalty. But most of us probably don't think of ourselves as royalty. Well, I would like you to open your Bible with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. I want you to find the 9th chapter of Hebrews. And as you prepare your heart today to receive the table of the Lord, I want you to see with me something in the book of Hebrews, remembering some wonderful things about the book of Hebrews, but in particular today, something about these believers, Jewish believers in Christ, in the city and surrounding the city of Jerusalem. Many of them had been tempted to forsake the Lord. So Paul writes the book of Hebrews to encourage them. I've titled today's message, "Where Are the Priests?" Thank you, Father, for your word and your spirit and your son. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that we have even today, Lord, to be able to call you our Father in heaven and be able to recognize, dear Lord, that even as we've gathered together today, Lord, that you are here with us, your presence, your love, your spirit. And Father, we have the truth in our hands this morning, so we pray that, Father, your truth would penetrate our spirits, that we would, Father, receive, believe, and, Father, every single thing that your word says, accept into our hearts. Thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. In Christ's name I pray this. Amen. So just like Pastor Spites, I've got good news for all of you today that you too are royalty. Some of you are going to say, no way. But I'm going to tell you and show you in the Bible that you are a member of a royal priesthood. You see, listen to what I'm going to say to you at this moment. You are a priest if you are a believer in Christ. I want to show that to you in the Bible. It's interesting, the Bible says a number of things about us in Scripture, but look at this one. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says this, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And here's verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now I'm going to ask you, for starters this morning, what comes to your mind when you hear the term priest? Do you think of a Roman Catholic priest? Or do you think of a Jewish priest? Or did you think of yourself as a priest? Oh. You didn't even consider what the Bible said. You were thinking what you're thinking and what you know. But I want you to think with me this morning about what the Bible says. When you hear this word, a priest, I want you to think biblically. I want you to understand what the Bible has to say. Now, who here believes the Word of God? Of course, we believe the Word of God. I believe what God says. So I want you to go with me this morning on what God says. Now, under the old covenant, under the old system, God set apart a man by the name of Levi. You may have heard, read, or understood something about him. And he told him that his sons would be priests. So all the descendants of a man by the name of Levi, third son of Jacob, the Lord says, your sons will be priests. Now maybe you can remember and recall with me the days of the Exodus out of Egypt. There were no priests. There were no priests. There were no priests on that night when they left Egypt. It wasn't until the 12 tribes had come around Mount Sinai that God set apart one of the families of the Jewish people. This is what Scripture says. Look at here. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. You shall give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And verse 10, you will appoint Aaron and his sons. They will wait upon their priest's office. And the stranger that comes near shall be put to death. And the Lord spoke a message, spoke unto Moses, saying, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that opens the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites will be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. Listen closely. When the Jews had gathered around Mount Sinai, having been delivered out of Egypt, God decided of one tribe he's going to make priests. And the priests had some big, significant responsibilities. He would have taken all the firstborn males. But then he said, no, he said, I just want one entire family. And the Scripture says it is very, very simple. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant and to stand before the Lord to minister to Him and to bless His name. Listen, folks, the priests were set apart by God. The priests were specifically set apart, well, from the ordinary people, for the ordinary people, but they were for Himself. They were the ones who were to be the closest to the Lord. Now, obviously, you're aware of the fact, I hope, that Levi had three sons. There was Merari, Gershom, and Kohath. Now, the way the tabernacle was set up, once it was set up, the tribes surrounded the tabernacle whenever it was set down. In specific, the Bible says that the sons of Levi, they were the ones that would have been the closest to the tabernacle. You see, in the days of the Old Covenant, folks, if you wanted to come to the Lord, you had to go through a priest. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to come before the Lord, you had to go through a priest who would make a sacrifice so that you could come before the Lord. You see, these men served in the tabernacle as the tabernacle went from place to place, and later they would have served in the temple in Jerusalem. Listen, now who were the priests of the Lord's day? In reading through the Gospels, who were the priests of the Lord's day? Listen closely. The priests were the Sadducees. Has anybody here ever heard of a man by the name of Annas? Another man by the name of Caiaphas? They were high priests. Did you know those two guys were the ones that made sure Jesus went to the cross? Did you hear what I said? The Sadducees were the priests. But something amazing took place. The Old Testament saints, in order to come before the Lord, they had to go through a priest. Now, in the New Testament, we're talking just 2,000 years ago, everything changed. I want you to understand, folks, Pastor Spites has something to teach you. He woke up one morning, looked at a text, and the text said something about his royalty. I want you to think, when you wake up tomorrow morning, there's going to be a text on your phone, and you're going to believe what the text says. And the text says that you are a royal priesthood. You are a priest of God. So now you know my question? Where are the priests? Scripture says this: you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's what you are. I'm just telling you what you are. I'm just telling you what you are. What are you? Oh, you're a priest. When you woke up this morning, you weren't a priest. Yes, you were. But now you know what the Bible says. The Bible says you are a priest of the Most High God. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. That's where we went. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse number 11. Hebrews 9. Let's see. Verse number 11. I'm going to go back. Look at verse 1. Then verily the first covenant, that's the old covenant, had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick, a table, showbread, which is called the sanctuary of, or the holy place. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, verse number 4, which had a golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubim of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak in particular. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always to the first tabernacle, the holy place, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to the living God. That brings us to today. I'm a priest. You're a priest. According to the Word of God, you are a royal priesthood. Think with me about that. The Scripture tells us in simple words, you are a holy priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. You are not what you think you are. You are what he says you are. And if he says you're a priest, you're a priest. If he says you're a holy priest, you're a holy priest. If he says you're a royal priest, then you're a royal priest. So when you wake up tomorrow morning, what will you be? You will be what God says you are, and nothing less. Where are the priests? See, where are the priests that are offering up spiritual sacrifices? Where are the ones who are showing forth his praises? The praise of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, in the old days, in the days of the first covenant, everything revolved around the temple. Everything revolved around the priests. The priests were important. The priests connected everybody else to God. Prophet would speak from God to the people. But the priest would be the one who would bring people before God. Well, today we have what's called the priesthood of all believers. Today we have a priesthood. Today we have a priesthood. Today you are the priests of God. Every single Christian is a priest, whether you think it or act it. You are a priest. We're a holy priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. We are the priests of God today. Listen, folks, every believer in Jesus Christ has been converted in his soul from what he was before to what he is now by what God does and what God says. You are a priest. I don't know about you, but that changes my outlook on life completely. So where are the priests? I got one hand went up. Where else are the priests? Do we have any more priests? Do we have any priests here today? Listen, folks. What does God say? It's not what do you think, unless you think after what God says. Then it is very important what you think. But before, it's not what you think, it's what he says. And he has made you a new person in Christ in lots of ways. But now you're a priest. Right here in this room, we've got priests. Every person here that has come to Christ, found forgiveness of sins, is on his way to heaven, is the Lord's priest. Yes, you do still have a high priest over you. Just a moment. Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus Christ entered into the perfect tabernacle, the one that's in heaven, with his own blood, something an earthly priest could never ever do. And with his blood, he gained something not for himself, but he gained something for you. He gained something for me. He bought eternal redemption with his blood, and he's given that redemption to me as a free gift. Now, some of you might have the wrong view of priesthood. I hope I've dispelled it, but some of you may carry the wrong view of the priesthood. Some of you think that the one that is close to God is the pastor, and you are not. Just like some people think, well, the priest is up here, and the people are down there. And some of you have that mentality. I want to dispel that completely. You might even say, the pastor is the minister. Show me in the Bible where the Bible says the pastor is the minister, and I'll show you in the Bible where it says the people are the ministers. And now what am I telling you from the book of Hebrews? Now I'm telling you you're a priest. Doesn't that put you in a different place in your heart and mind when you hear what God says, when you believe what God says, when you accept what God says? Doesn't that change you? You see, folks, there's no hierarchy. Listen, the pastor is no closer to God than you are. The pastor is no more special than you are. No hierarchy. But there is a priesthood. It's his priesthood. And you serve as a holy priest and a royal priest in the spiritual house called the church. Now, one day the disciples got arguing among themselves, and they were trying to figure out who was going to be greater. So Jesus speaks up and he says this. Jesus called them and said unto him, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And their great ones, they exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be like that among you. Whoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Have you ever heard this? All Christians are priests. Maybe you've never read it before. It's a quote. All Christians are priests. All priests are Christians. Anathema to him who distinguishes the priest from the simple Christian. I suppose I could have come up with a multiple choice and given you some options. His name was Martin Luther. Martin Luther came out of a system of priests. He was a priest. He got saved and became a priest. And then he preached the priesthood of all believers, because he found it taught in the Word of God. Of course, we're going to ask the question, what does the priest do? So what does the priest do? Now that you know what you are, what do? I want to begin by saying something, and I want you to realize what I said earlier. The prophet was the one that took a message from God and brought it to the people. The priest is the one that took the people to God. So whatever else I'm going to say to you about these passages in the Bible, I want you to realize that your place as a priest is to bring people before God. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your prayer life. I don't know what God is doing with you. I am telling you that if you're a priest, you are accountable and responsible to God to bring people before him. That's what the priest did. That's what the priest does. You bring people to God. All right, let's look at the first thing the priest does is he offers his body to God. The first thing the priest does is he offers his body to God. When you offer your body as a living sacrifice in obedience to the Lord, the scripture says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. The first thing you do, the first thing you do is you give God your body. The first thing the Bible says, if you're saved, your body is not your own. You belong to Him. Listen to the scripture. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. First, have you offered your body to God? First, priests, have you offered your body to God? Number one. Number two, you offer a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Offer a continual sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of praise. How many of you were praising the Lord when you woke up today? How about on your way in today? How about this past week? Were you praising God for people, events, problems, life today? Here's what Scripture says, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Look at this. By Him, Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God once a week. How many of you saw that there? Two hands went up. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. There's another one there in just a moment. But I want you to think about this matter of giving God praise. Listen, every Christian is a priest. Does every Christian praise God continually? Then you're certainly living in disobedience. We are to live as priests. How does a priest live? He lives constantly bringing praise to His Heavenly Father. See, the Bible teaches us this is your continual sacrifice. You see, you give your body to God, but you also give your heart to God. When things are not going well for you, what's the first thing you do? What's the first thing you do? I grumble. I complain, I criticize, I blame, all of that, right? Isn't that what I do? Right? I'm a priest, that's what I do, right? That's not what the priest is supposed to do. The priest is supposed to continually offer a sacrifice to God. And that is praise. What's going on in your heart, what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your heart should be every time an event comes, we can bring it before the Lord in praise. Well, those are two pretty important sacrifices. The rest of the passage says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. But here's how one man puts it. To love Him with all the heart, all the understanding, all the soul, all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, watch this, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. You see what's going on in your life right now? What's going on in your life right now, you as a priest are to be offering up God praise. Obviously, you praise the one you love. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah. We praise what we really love. Anybody seen my new car? I got a 2020. You didn't see that car out there?
How many saw it? How many saw that new car out there? Did you see my new car? What should I tell you about my new car? I'll tell you everything about my new car if I love that car. Okay, I don't have a new car. Okay, I don't have a new car. That was only an illustration. I don't have a new car. But if I love my car, am I going to talk about my car? What else am I going to talk about? Who am I going to bring my praise to? What am I going to say about God or to God? You see? All the whole burnt offerings, all the sacrifices that the priest could bring in days gone by are nothing compared to loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, where are the priests? Where are the priests? See, the Bible says, by him, therefore, let us sacrifice the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. One more thing. Let's just say one more thing. Here it is. You offer your body, you offer your heart, but you also offer your stuff to other people. Look what the scripture says. Do good and share. See that old English word communicate there? It's the word share. Share. To share. Forget not. For with what? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Where are the priests? You know, we're going to come to the table. We're going to come to the Lord's table here. And let me ask you, as you come before the table today, are you offering up anything? Your body, your praise, your stuff? If you come before this table, because this table is the center of our lives because of what it represents in the person of Jesus. So if I am going to offer anything to God, I'm offering what he already owns. Didn't we find that in the Bible? You're offering God something that he already owns. Oh, you thought you owned your stuff? You thought I own that 2020? I don't have a new car. I want to make sure everybody understands it, because somebody's going to say to me, can you show me your... What you praise tells you what's going on in your heart. To do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So where are the priests? Where are your offerings? What will you do today when you come to the table? What will you do tomorrow when you go to work? Will you fulfill your role as a priest of the Most High God? When you come to the table, when you go to work, will you fulfill your role as his priest in light of everything that Christ has done for you in being our great high priest, in light of what the Bible says? What will you do? Will you do anything different tomorrow or even today? Anything? Will anything change? You see, if there's change in the heart, there's change in the hands. Right? If there's change in the heart, then there's going to be a change in your life. Can you not see how important you are to this world and to that world? You, as a priest of God, are to take people to God. That's what the scripture tells us. That's what the priest did. We are the priesthood of Christ. I want you to understand very, very simply, you are a priest of God. When you come in today, you may not have thought yourself as a priest, but guess what, folks? You are what you are. You are a priest. Thank you, dear Lord, for the truth. The truth is what makes us free. And thank you, Father, for the blessing of the reality that you have made us your own priests, Lord. And then you've given us a job to do. You've given us work to do. You've given us responsibility. You've given us a task. We have to take the people that you have brought into our lives to you, Lord. As we know, Father, that there is such a need in hearts right around us. And then, Father, having given to you these sacrifices, oh, dear Lord, our bodies, our praise, and our stuff, oh, dear Lord, we know that that's what's well-pleasing to you. We praise you and thank you in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.